Just to begin with, members supported the intent and direction of the goals of this document. So we just want to make that, this document, the 12 points of the LIN, we just want to make that a clear statement at the beginning. Now if we take goal number one, to combat religious, racial and all other forms of anti-Semitism, we spent quite a bit of time on this particular piece. The first area was the biblical points. The points we saw as a toolkit or a memory aid for practitioners or educationalists. One of the problems we have is biblical illiteracy, which we find at every level and in every group, so we need to develop strategies to educate. We need to encourage or emphasise continuing professional development of clergy to ensure that these messages are understood and applied. We need also to get the wider community, an untapped audience, aware, and it was suggested that adult education programs and U3A were fields that we could consider. It was pleasing to note that there has been significant changes in the content of some of the religious studies programs, both in schools and in universities. And we should also realise that we can have a role ourselves in education within our own churches by discerning, listening, being aware of best practice and reinforcing best practice. So those are the points on the biblical side. Liturgically, we often have liturgies which need to be adhered to, and this should avoid unintentional errors. Hymns have a potential to express theology which should be rejected or avoided. Congregations are very dependent on those leading and preaching at services. And this, further up, we talked about the professional development of clergy because we are very dependent on their understanding. We should be cautious when mimicking, the traditions of others, that this doesn't become a parody. And this, an example of this was mentioned, and this was congregations or Christian congregations enacting the Passover meal. And one needs to be very careful about doing these things. So that was goal number one. Should I pause to see if anybody wants to add anything? Is that, as long as you please sing out if there's anything that you disagree with or...
No, I'm doing a very good job.
Okay, up to now. Good.
Very, very good job.
Number two, to promote inter-religious dialogue with Jews. Now the focus here is on respective interfaith dialogue. The focus is on respectful listening and to consider what we can receive rather than what we want to give. In other words, learning from each other. And Australia has developed useful material about receptive ecumenism which can be applied to interfaith dialogue with Jews. I believe that they have some material on the website, but I'm not sure what that website or where it can be found, but it could be worth following through. Now we are called to listen in a different way, being open and reflective. Pentecostal and evangelical Christians need to be encouraged to think about interfaith in ways other than proselytizing. We must temper our own zeal, was a statement made. That's number two. Number three, to develop theological understandings of Judaism that affirm its distinctive identity. We need to understand the reason for the existence of the first bullet point and how critical it is to Jewish and Christian understanding. Everybody was very emphatic that this was an extremely important statement. The word supersessionism was a new word for some. We've enjoyed that word and I think we like to know what it means. We need to understand also that Jews and Christians are sharing one hope, that of the kingdom of God for the age to come. Christian agencies should be encouraged to explore opportunities to work with Jewish agencies. Migrant groups come into New Zealand with often fundamentalist views and a different worldview. This needs to be understood and handled sympathetically. The group were not aware of any organised efforts to convert Jews in Australasia by missioning to the Jews.
We were amongst Gentiles, you might say. We were not aware of them. We know of the Jews for Jesus. And
are they operational in New Zealand?
They're in Australia.
In Australia?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
They are in Australia.
Okay. All right. Well, we need to adjust that. We also, of course, were very conscious of comments made by Paul Morris about the English situation that he referred to, which was interesting. Number four, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Many of us do not fully appreciate the Jewish attachment to the land. In New Zealand, there is perhaps and potentially more acceptance, as Māori have a similar commitment to the land. The distinction between religion and politics is critical in dealing with the peace of Jerusalem. There were a variety of views expressed. The Israeli political situation inevitably colours one's perception. I think, if I just interpolate there, I think this was the one area where there was a bit of disagreement. Do you agree? Amongst the group, that we weren't all completely aware of the same level of how we felt about things. As our God is the God of creation, an understanding of the land could be approached through environmental themes in the Bible that value the land and encourage the care of creation. The complexities are such that the prayer for the peace of Jerusalem should be very intentional. The group suggests that the word intentional be mentally included in the text of the fourth goal, appreciating that presumably it cannot be added at this stage in the text. But when we think about this, we should interpolate mentally the word intentional prayer for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, those were the four particular points that the Christians were asked to address. We then moved to the last section. It's a bit trickier. What have I got here? The first one is to enhance inter-religious and intercultural education. Oh, there are school programs which are successful. Australians explained this, but mostly in secondary faith schools, that there were good programs in those schools. And we were also made aware of a multi-faith theological college in the USA that was suggested that this was a good thing to encourage. And social issues, social service issues, social justice issues, involving one another together, is a bit messy, this bit, sorry about that. The local council of Jews and Christians here have had meetings studying common texts, which have been very successful. The particular one, Charter of Compassion, was the focus of a meeting last year, and there was a very good attendance, and it was held at the local mosque in Pilpuni. That was a very positive educational exercise between the various groups. And then number 10, to promote interreligious friendship and cooperation as well as social justice in a global society. Recognising migrants as equal citizens can be a challenge for many, but assimilating people from the Pacific Islands has to some extent influenced our way of life in New Zealand. And priests coming into either New Zealand or Australia are given time and are assisted to adapt, and then they can make a very valuable contribution. Now those answers are in directly related to particular bullet points. You probably need to have those in front of you to make a lot of sense. Number 11, to enhance dialogue with political and economic bodies. We should identify issues upon which we can speak with one voice. And an example of that were, in both our countries, of both Australia and New Zealand, cuts to international aid, which both groups had a view on. People were aware that there is a connect between political, economic and religious bodies, and a number of examples were given where there was interaction. One that was particularly emphasised was calls for submission to select committees of government, a way of having a say, and we need to think about how we can do this jointly with our Jewish and Muslim contacts. 9, 10, 11, 12. To network with those whose respond, is that what it is? Respond to the demands of environmental stewardship. Now we have actually touched on that previously, so just now we need much more insight into the biblical text, and I think we mentioned that earlier on. There are a couple of current examples where this commitment to the care of the earth, the examples that were mentioned in the Anglican Consultative Council many years ago, at least 20, set up calls to mission, and one of those was the care of creation. So in our Anglican churches there is a very definite focus on this, and the other example that was mentioned was Kaitaki, Narragan stewardship of land, water.
Kaitiaki.
Yes. Right. So that's K-A-I-T-I-A?
Yes,
K-A-I-T-I-A. Okay. Narragan stewardship of land, water and creation. So those were things that were examples of groups that were responding and areas that we can be involved in.
It's an aboriginal word too, wasn't it?
Mm.
The idea of custodianship.
Mm. Another Maori word?
No,
aboriginal
word.
Oh, aboriginal word. Okay. Oh, well, you could write that down. Mm. You know, or is it just...
Well, at most meetings these days, we start off with paying our respects to the elders. Elders past and present. Who have had the custody
in
the land.
Custodian.
The word is custody.
Yes.
Right. End of message.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Margaret? so it really had to encompass the
conversation.
Anyone else got anything else they want to say? Goodness, how could you add anything to what Elizabeth
said? Well, I probably could, but...
What a huge...
Well, I have to thank my husband for helping me sort this out, because we I had most of it there. It was just largely getting it in a sort of proper order. But yeah, it was worth working. Thank you.
Thank you, because you worked really hard during the break on it. Thank you. Either Sultan's group or William's group.
Since we are played last in the order, we'd like to give the way to...
Okay. I volunteered to be the recorder, but Will has done virtually all the work in bringing forward the points. But as with the Christian group, there was general agreement that the call to the 12 points were worthwhile studying, and we generally agreed in them. There were a few suggestions for wording, maybe that could have been changed, but Debbie explained to us the reasons for this and that particular wording, which was all quite relevant and interesting to us. But we did feel that most of the comments we made were more relevant to the educational guidance lines of which are appended to the 12 points. We had to note that not everybody can agree with everything. Debbie made the point that if you have a document where everybody agrees with everything, it's a document that virtually says nothing. We just have to note that there always are differences of opinions, and we have to realise that if one party of a dialogue or a trialogue is having difficulty or is against talking, well, then there's problems. We also recognise that different groups of Jews have different perspectives, and some are much more receptive to dialogue than others, and that's something that we have to work with. We discussed the place of rabbinic authority in Jewish thinking as against lay people's ideas or wishes, but we thought we can suggest, but we can't really presume to prescribe what people should do, how they should behave. But some people do like to do that anyway, but they're allowed to. Then looking at some of the specific points, under point three, that's about the second bullet point, by emphasising the common mission of Jews and Christians in preparing the world for the kingdom of God for the age to come. There's some wonder as to whether it was actually a common mission, maybe a common aim, and we realised that both Jews and Christians would have fairly different views about the meaning of all of that. But, you know, it's a good thing to talk about them. And the Jewish idea, tikkun olam, is looking after the world today. Olam haba is the world to come, and it's just which is the stronger perspective. The phrase was mentioned in the first day, is this a wish list or is it a snapshot? There's always areas to think about and talk about in that area. Point four, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's a big area where sometimes there's difficulties and misunderstandings and different interpretations. We thought the meaning of Jerusalem and Israel, do we mean the land of Israel, the state of Israel, the people Israel, meaning Jews all over the world, the deep attachment to the land of Israel, the integral connection? These are all areas which we can work on and try to not necessarily come to some agreement, to just discuss the different perceptions. Again, critiquing the policies of Israeli and Palestinian governmental and social institutions. Again, we have to make a distinction between Israel as a place for Jews, whether if you're criticising Israel, does that mean you're saying it shouldn't exist? And it's quite shocking that some people are saying, I don't think Israel should exist. We think that's pretty shocking. But you are allowed to make a criticism, and Israel is a democratic country, is always criticising itself and each other's ideas and policies of how things are working out. And we, William had made, and his group had made the idea that there's a need for Christians to understand this connection with Israel. It's integral to the Jewish self-identity. We don't want Israel to be branded as the bad guy, and obviously the recognition of the security needs of Israel and the Jewish and Israeli people is fairly necessary, as it is for the security of Christian people and Muslim people and people from other faiths all over the world. But it's not unique. And point five, in terms of the schooling for people, some countries have a national curriculum where there is some integration of learning about other religions, and some don't, some of it's state. There's always a little bit different difficulty in finding space within curriculum to promote these ideas. But the ideas are all good and all worth considering, and you'll always get some teachers, say in the social studies situation in New Zealand, who are more open to these ideas than others. Jewish texts and liturgy. Oh, first of all, acknowledging the efforts of many Christian communities, we talked a little bit about, for example, the Lutheran statement that was made at the Sydney 2007 International Conference of Christians and Jews, and a lot of other churches have made similar statements and similar efforts. And it is fantastic, and in fact, the churches really as a whole have done more to think about their relationships with Jews than the Jews have made to think about their relationships with Christians or Muslims, we thought. Jewish texts that appear xenophobic or racist, some people say that's not appear, it's that they are. There aren't that many, I don't think, but we felt it was worthwhile for when, say, teaching children the prayers to discuss the interpretation of some of these texts and why they could have been written when they were. Also in terms of the liturgy, we realised, we talked a little bit about the Trinity and the fact that the Christian idea of the Trinity is one of the main differences between Christianity and Judaism. And in fact, in theologically, Judaism and Islam are much closer because they're much more, in our respective views, I think, Selfan, you would agree, are more monotheistic than Christianity is. So that's an area of... you may not agree, but that's one of the ideas we thought.
There's a bit of dissension in the room about the Trinitarian thing being applied to Christians.
Okay, well, yeah, and I'm sure, you know, three in one and one in three and all that, just different ways of looking at it, but not part of
that. That's not quite right.
Okay. Well, I can remember that was in Sunday school, but...
I think
for some of us it's really important that we hear as representatives of monotheistic
religions,
and that we have different ways of understanding the way God is.
Yes, it's all a question of interpretating, considering each other's points of view and interpretations and so on. Okay, part seven. Yeah, the fair-minded criticism, here we're back again at Israel, but you know, we thought it was very worthwhile thinking about in the book of Genesis, Abraham talks to God and says, you're a just God, therefore you've got to behave justly. And so it starts right from the very beginnings of our religious life, criticism and of, well, criticism of injustice or what might be perceived as injustice. And as far as encouraging the state of Israel, the founding document, I don't know if any of you know the founding documents, but they're certainly talk of reaching out in peace and fellowship to all our neighbours and working together. And it has been sad that many of the neighbours of Israel have rejected that idea, but now some are coming to believe in that a little bit more. We also thought maybe a just, peaceful and secure resolution of the Palestinian conflict. In fact, we would like a just, peaceful and secure resolution of all conflicts anywhere among people. One question was raised, do we expect the other to change when we're having Jewish, Christian, Muslim discussion? Perhaps we do. Perhaps it's at least enough for them to realise that there are different points of views, each other to realise. Mm. Point nine, enhancing interreligious and intercultural education. Somebody made the suggestion yesterday that human beings are made in the image of God, and that could be a good topic for a Council of Christians and Jews evening to discuss the different interpretations and ways of looking at that idea. And point 10, we thought quite clearly that we have to promote intra-religious friendship as well as inter-religious friendship, meaning is that we have dissension in our own houses. We can't expect other houses to connect with us. And I think we all have a little bit of dissension, trouble between different branches of each other's religion. I mean, I'm looking at Muslims have Sunni and Shia, there's Catholic and Protestant, there's Orthodox and Liberal. There's a lot of differences, and we have to realise that the world is the world. We must live together, and all what we're doing together here helps us work together and make the world a better place. With that idea of dialogue, advocacy to the government, that's all good. Submissions to select committees and so on. There's plenty of scope for us to work with our common values in those, especially in the social justice area. And just a thing about stewardship, it was really based on the Hebrew idea of Adam being given the idea of protecting and enjoying the world which our Creator has made for us. That was why the reason stewardship was used, and it's pretty close to the Maori idea of custodianship. And William's probably got plenty to ask to add.
I do have a couple of things. One was the in terms of the criticism, particularly about the state of Israel, that we acknowledge those criticisms and use them as a starting point for discussion.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Rather than just shutting them down. Mm-hmm. And the second thing was, it would be really lovely to have an acknowledgement somewhere in future editions of this document to the Charter for Compassion. Because it is such a great document and such an easy thing to access.
I forgot to mention that, because it was a... you mentioned here we had a CCJ evening about it here in Wellington.
Mm.
And,
Is there anyone want to add anything to what Janet, William and Dave have said?
Unfortunately, we didn't have any ribbon of hope in the pot.
Well, William did directly.
Oh, yeah, William did indirectly because he consulted with rabbis in Australia, Sydney. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for the other religions.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, Madam Dr. Weisman, training co-chair of the WCCJ, and my fellow conference attendees, respected members from Australia and also from Wellington. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace and blessings be upon all of you. When Jenny asked me whether I will be one of the conveners, I was a bit hesitant. Well, now I feel very privileged, and I thank you for that. Although outnumbered tremendously, I'm the only member here from the Muslim community, I do not feel that way when I'm among brothers and sisters here. Islam, Judaism, Christianity, actually we call ourselves people of a book. Just for a little clarification before I yield the floor to my colleague Murray here, Islam is not a religion. Many may not know this. Islam is actually a way of life from birth to death and beyond. It is a continuation from where it started. It started from Judaism, Christianity, Islam. So Islam, we feel, is the completion of the way of life. We, or any Muslim, is not a Muslim if he is not accepting Torah. Any Muslim is not a Muslim if it is not accepting the Injil, which is the Gospel. So with that, I want to emphasize that we share one world and we are all in it. Based on that, personally, I feel this document is incomplete and a little bit divisive because you have left us out, the Muslims, the Islam people. I can accept both of you share probably a similar liturgy and biblical things and all that. But having said that, I want to re-emphasize, we are the people of the book and we also feel that we should be part of whatever we are discussing. So the basis of building this relationship, it should be rightly between Jews, Christians and Muslims. So without further going any more rambling, I'll hand over to Murray. Frankly, we feel, three of us, I'm representing the Muslim, the Islam book. Murray, he will easily pass as a Jew. and a colleague who is now not with us, yes, he has left,
Carol Knight,
she is from the Catholic persuasion. Now I'll give over to Murray.
Salam and shalom and kia ora. I'll just read what we basically, some text that we, some wording that we agreed that we would, that I would read to you. We feel that surely the call should be to Jews, Christians and Muslims, okay? Not Jews, Christians and others.
Mm-hmm.
Now there may be a room for others, but this is where we think that points 9 to 12 should be aimed at. In point 9 we felt that the third and fourth bullet points should become the first and second bullet points and that we should be working hard to engage with all three faiths. So the mutual study of religious texts, supporting common action should come, and then as a result of that the other things should follow, hopefully. The emphasis on the fact that the Abrahamic faiths believe in one God, and should so socially we should be looking to break down barriers, and the mutual study of texts should be part of that. And I think in Wellington we've certainly done that to some degree, and obviously there's a lot we can go, more we can go. I think we agree that in combating negative attitudes and removing prejudices, we have to admit that we are all prisoners of history. And in our discussion, we talked at length about the last 1,000 years with the Crusades, when Jews were killed by Crusaders en route to the Holy Land, and we talked at length about the British Mandate from 1918 to 1948, and the fact that not only did the British lead the Indian subcontinent in a total shambles, but also left Palestine and Israel in total shambles too. And effectively there is a legacy that we all have to live with, and how we cope with that is important. So moving on from the social and the study text, we need to emphasise, as Sultan said, that we are the people of the book, in this quotation from Surah 29, do not dispute the people of the book, our God and your God is one. We need to emphasise that, particularly when there are a lot of people in the world who are trying to say that it's different gods, it's the one God that we all worship. We need to acknowledge our shortcomings and work together for the greater good and humanity and the peace of Jerusalem. Now, we discussed what we meant by Jerusalem, and we mean quite literally Jerusalem. And we acknowledge that there are totally opposing ideas about what is meant by the peace of Jerusalem. I won't go into that. We also talked about the issue of security, and we talked about the concept of the Holy Land. And Carol mentioned about one particular Christian leader in the Middle East who refuses to use the term the Holy Land because he says there's very little holy going on there, and rather what we should be talking about is the land of the Holy One. We also felt that we had to rejoice within each other and need to deal with, not grapple with, the feelings of superiority. We need to actually deal with them. In terms of points 11 and 12, we felt that if Jews and Christians acknowledge they have a biblical duty to creation, then surely we need to acknowledge that Muslims have a Quranic duty to creation. We also felt that there is an area where, in practical social justice terms, Jewish, Christian and Muslim faiths have a commitment to reducing economic inequalities. And this is going right against the whole trend of world history at the moment, where the emphasis is on increasing social and economic inequalities. So we felt that there were some practical areas that could benefit from a greater understanding of all three faiths.
In summing up, we would like to see basically the ICCJ opening up to full Muslim participation, and as the Charter of Compassion calls for, we want to restore compassion to the center of morality and religion. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
I think we should also add a codicil that we felt that New Zealand is in a very special place. if we can't do it in New Zealand, then probably no other country in the world can do it. But if we can do it in New Zealand, then that sets an example for other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed, for example, about the way that the Muslim community is constituted. You know, we've got 45 ethnic groups in the Muslim community in New Zealand, and yet it is one community. And I'm not sure any other country in the world that could boast something quite like that. 45.
In excess of 45, actually.
Yeah.
More than that.
Yeah. And of course, we've got a degree of cohesion in some, you know, some of the other faith communities.
Thank you. That was a very strong statement. Probably took a fair bit of chutzpah to put it together. Thank you. That about brings us to the end of our plenary session. Is there anyone who'd like to add anything? Of course you are.
Thank you.
Okay.
I feel I have to disagree.
Yeah.
And I am sorry that the Sultan feels left out. The statement that we published was intended to be a look at Jewish-Christian relations, how far we've come, how far we have to go. Clearly, there'll be people from other faiths who are left out, because it's about Jewish-Christian dialogue. If it were a statement about Jewish-Muslim dialogue, the Christians would be left out, etc., etc. Actually, I thought, you know, in the last 4 points, we kind of opened it up. And we said, I think we specifically mentioned Muslims, we invite... In the kind of preamble to the last 4 points, I don't know if you have it in front of you, but we invite our Muslim brothers and sisters as well as other people, and even people who don't profess a particular faith may be involved in work for social justice and environment and so on. So we thought we were being pretty open, and now you're like, okay. I hope I made it clear yesterday. Not only am I in favor of the Abrahamic faiths, the three monotheistic faiths, having trilateral dialogue, I'm also in favor of us engaging with people from other faiths. For 7 years of my life, I had the privilege of being in a think tank sponsored by the World Council of Churches, Jews, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists. That was a very enriching and wonderful experience for me, and I have dear friends that I still stay in touch with from all around the world. I've also been in dialogue that included Sikhs, that included people from indigenous spiritual traditions in different parts of the world. I think we have a lot to learn from everybody, and I appreciate that. I also think, as I tried to suggest yesterday, that there's something important, valuable, precious, about Jews and Christians being in dialogue with each other. And maybe there'll be other people that will feel left out. You know, we can have many friends. If I'm in contact with one friend, does that mean I'm leaving out another friend? Well, to some extent, yes. And then sometimes the three of us can go out and get together, and sometimes more people, and whatever it is. There are different relationships with different people, and if I haven't succeeded in convincing you, then I haven't. But I would like for the next 2 years of my life to continue to be president of the ICCJ. After that, I will become immediate past president, and whoever it is will take over. I don't know. But I don't want to be president of the ICCJM, not because I'm not in favor of the M. I'm very much in favor of having, we already have within the ICCJ an Abrahamic forum. And I might join other groups. And there's a wonderful organization in the world called Religions for Peace. There's a world parliament of religions. There's, I just learned today, a charter of compassion. There's all kinds of initiatives, and I think they're all important. I think the ICCJ is the one forum in which I've chosen to be active, to do dialogue between Jews and Christians, primarily. That's our primary focus. I don't want to lose that. So I'm suggesting that we can do not either or, but both and. And, for example, the Berlin document goes into some length about the Jewishness of Paul. It's not an issue of great concern to Muslims, I would suspect. It is an issue of great concern between Jews and Christians, or the need for Jews to acknowledge certain changes in the churches, and maybe to look at our own anti-Christian texts. By the way, there are a lot more of them than you might know about, okay? Which is pretty good. I'm glad you don't know about all of them. I'm not so proud of them, okay? Traditionally, we've had far fewer problems relating to Islam than to Christianity. We don't have the same kind of anti-Muslim texts as we have anti-Christian texts. So these are issues between Jews and Christians and not so much involving Muslims. There are other issues in which definitely there's a lot of room for dialogue with Muslims. And as I say, I'm open to dialogue with lots of people in lots of different traditions. So that was the first point I want to make. I want to make three more points. I want to say that sometimes there's something to be said for what's called constructive ambiguity. And I tried to explain a little bit the Berlin document. As I mentioned, it's a product of a committee. And there were pressures on various sides. And I think in many cases, the wording that we came out with is okay. Because it's kind of a middle ground between the different sides. Maybe I should have spoken at greater length and told you more about the process of how it came into being. I don't know. I didn't know if it was that important. But some of the subtleties and nuances that you've picked up actually reflect some of the conversations we had over the course of the 2 or 3 years that it took to create this document. It's not perfect. You've pointed out even more flaws than I did yesterday, and I pointed out a few flaws, I think. There are some additional flaws, and if we were going to do it over again, maybe we would do it differently. I'm not sure we're going to do another edition of it. I think it would probably be better to wait a couple of years and just do a new document instead of, you know, rewriting this one. And it would reflect different stages of the development. I personally am comfortable as a Jew, more comfortable by saying Holy Land than by saying Land of the Holy One. But that's another discussion. And here I just want to say we have to be sensitive to each other's traditions. And what is meaningful in one tradition might not be so meaningful in another, and that's okay too. Now, what am I going to do with all this material that you've, some of it I took notes on, and some of it I just hope that you'll send me on email or however, and I'm so glad that it's all recorded. Well, first of all, I'm going to present a report to the International Board of the ICCJ on my trip and include what I've learned. And I really hope that a lot of what you said can be uploaded onto our website and can be shared with people all over the world. And Dave asked me earlier, well, does everything always have to go through Heppenheim? You know, is it like a hub with spokes? No. In the age of high tech, it just occurred to me, if we had a web camera, couldn't we have podcast this to the whole world? Of the whole world. I mean,
yeah, to the whole world.
To the whole world, couldn't we? I don't know. You know, I'm very low tech.
That's not a problem. We're going to share the audio with the rest of the world.
Great. So you don't have to send it to Heppenheim in order to do that. You can just send it out. I'd like to make one final suggestion. That sounds funny for me. Even if you don't share it with the whole world, I really hope that in the future Wellington can share with Auckland, and New Zealand can share with Australia, and vice versa. And I'm well aware that some people think it's the same place. You know, Australia and New Zealand is probably a 15-minute drive. No, it's a substantial flight. Okay, I know that. I've done it, so I know. But still, you are relatively close to each other. You're also relatively close culturally, linguistically, with differences. But, you know, so why don't you share with each other more? And we were just talking about this over coffee earlier. My guess is that people from Auckland visit Wellington fairly frequently. There's probably business people who go back and forth. Probably people who go back and forth for family occasions, etc., as well as people who go from Wellington to Melbourne or Sydney or Adelaide and vice versa. In other words, I think there is some movement. So how about sharing with each other information about when you have meetings and events, and someone says, oh, I'm going to my nephew's wedding in Sydney. Oh, maybe the next day I can go to a CCJ luncheon meeting. If we knew when those dates were, we might be able to do that. So I'm just, as an outsider, suggesting if you could coordinate among yourselves, I think that would be wonderful, because I think you have wonderful resources in each community. I've visited now 4 communities in the last 11 days, I think. And I think you have some terrific resources. Why don't you share with each other and also share with the rest of the world? And we can do that on Skype or on podcasts or through our website. And I'm sure there's other things as well. Thank you.
I just wanted to make a couple of comments, sort of responding both to Sultan and Murray and to Dr. Weissman.
Debbie.
Thank you. I guess it's important for Sultan and Murray to understand the origin of the points of Berlin and the points of and the ten points of Seelisburg, which came before them, which arose directly out of the Holocaust and the Second World War, which was seen to be at the time directly a in some way a Jewish-Christian conflict. And the points of Seelisburg and then the points of Berlin, which were developed from that, directly arose out of that. Muslims really did not have a significant part to play in that event, and in the events which created the foundation for those two documents. I would argue, however, that in 21st century New Zealand, where we have a very small community, and this is particularly true of the Jewish community, where the tides of world events are such that the influence and importance of Islam is undeniable and growing, where we have a good base of friendship and a good base of knowledge and a growing base of shared experience, that it makes sense to me anyway, in this context, to actually bring Islam and the Muslims into the tent to contribute to that dialogue. So we have to understand where we were coming from initially, and it wasn't in any way setting out to exclude Islam or Muslims from that conversation. It was incredibly important that that conversation started in the manner and in the way that it did. But I think we've matured now, and we understand each other now to the point where we can begin to bring others into that conversation. So I don't think anyone was trying to exclude Islam, but I think the time has come for Islam to join in that conversation from the same basis of understanding. And while it's, you know, it's great to discuss points like the Jewishness of Paul, and these are really interesting topics, there are other equally interesting topics that we can talk about at the interface of Islam and Christianity and Islam and Judaism. Again, given our small population and small resource base, I think it makes more sense to be more inclusive, and I think that particularly makes more sense in a Kiwi context than it may in a much larger country. So that's all I really had to say.
Join in that response, and I think it's helpful to sort of think about that progression of the history of this document. But I was going to very much say the same thing about our capacity as people living in, I know the Wellington situation, I presume it's not that dissimilar in places in Australasia in terms of the number of people who are involved in this work and where the, we talked about the rubber hitting the road, you know, where the issues where we rub up against each other come. And it seems to me that it is, in the 21st century, in the post 9/11 environment, really important that we do involve the three faiths and other faiths that are important. And I'm aware of the things that I've done through feminism and other things, that when you expand, when you, you know, from a white feminist point of view, you don't just sort of add add an African American into the things that you've already got going. You actually need to sort of step back and say, what would we create if we were doing a new thing together, so that people that you add in aren't always coming in on your terms. Which is not to say that I don't think that the CCJ isn't a possible incubator for that, but I think it's really important that if we are to become more expansive, and I think it makes sense in our local context that we do that with sort of respect for one another as equal participants in that, not seeing one group as an add-on.
I have got no idea whether it's working or not, but I'll just talk anyway. Just referring to experience of conference where, I mean, in tertiary chaplaincy, where we had two different streams of conference, and at one time we were thinking of three different streams of a conference, because there could be a conference where people are here for CCJ, the one for CCMJ or MJC or so that's just a thought. And with respect to that, I thought I noticed a little instance before where the comment about Muslims and Jews being closer together in terms of monotheism, and I think that's a valid, I don't think as a Christian I have the right to step into that statement. I think there's a kind of an intimacy there which I might not agree with it as a Christian, but it's not my role to police or to how Jews and Muslims think about Christians. It's for me to say, well, that's not how I see it. Yeah. But and I think we can honour diversity of conversations. We need to honour a diversity of conversations, not try to make a diversity of conversations one conversation, but we may be able to do that at the same convention.
Thank you. And Robin.
I'm more used to standing when I speak than I will sit. And my question is addressed to you, Debbie. It's always difficult from my own experience of visiting North America and other parts of the world, when people ask me what's my reflection on this, when I was younger I was always bold enough to have three or four points that I had. But what I'd like to ask you is, what has become fresh to you out of being part of our conversation? What are you taking away? I'm not asking for a polished thing, but what is the gift you've got from us?
No pressure, Debbie.
I think in the last, I've been in New Zealand now for a few days. I actually arrived last Wednesday. So, but certainly in a very intense way in the last day and a half or so. And it isn't my first visit. So I already said it's third time in Wellington, second time in Auckland. I think I have more appreciation of some of the blessings of this country, as many people have mentioned this. And I think that it, one point that has struck me is this issue of biculturalism, triculturalism, and multiculturalism, which I was not aware of before. And again, even though I don't agree with some of the points that were made by people from here, I'm trying to appreciate your perspective on bilateral and trilateral interreligious dialogue. I think it's important to hear what you have to say. I resonated more with what Kevin said about, you know, the diversity, and finding maybe a way, can we even incorporate some of what you said and some of what I said and find some model that would satisfy the needs that I see for both bilateral and trilateral, maybe. I guess, you know, the Jewish community here is quite small, but I'm getting a sense that some of the Christian communities are also feeling that, although they're maybe the largest religious group, some of them are losing numbers as well, for other reasons maybe. And so we're all kind of in this together. What do you do when your numbers seem to be dwindling, and how do you handle that, and how it affects your life as a member of a community? So there's really a lot of things that that I'm learning, and I want to thank you very much for your warmth and hospitality.
I'd like to make a very small response. Thank you very much for what you've said, and how difficult it is, all of us would appreciate. What has come clear to me is what we're talking about is similar to the relationships that exist in families.
Mm.
I was lucky enough, although I wasn't convinced of this when I was younger, that I was born first, and then my brother and sister arrived as the two twins. Now, how many is two twins? Just because mum and dad love all of us and each one of us individually, but also there will be times when just two of us need special attention. And there, one of the marvellous things about what all of us know from our traditions about love is it never reduces. It always expands, no matter how many people. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I just wanted to make a point about the sort of the Abrahamic and the three-way conversation element. And you know, we've had in here in Wellington some really wonderful evenings of three-way exchange. Like over here at this synagogue, we had the evening on Ishmael, Abraham and Ishmael, Abraham and Isaac, and all the three traditions voicing their theological interpretations of that, which was very good. Mm-hmm. Then we had the evening on compassion at the Kilburny Mosque, where all our three Abrahamic faiths again spoke, and there was a fantastic, another great evening. And so we're building up a good sort of momentum of three-way dialogue and conversation. I'm not sure if there's an Abrahamic group in Wellington, but I know in Dunedin that they have an Abrahamic group. And you know, and that has been going quite successfully too for a number of years now. And I think you know, this sense of changing context and changing times and changing relevancies. You know, if you look at the economic world, the G6 morphs into the G7, into the G8, into the G, you know, so there's a recognition of change and of incorporation. You know, so I hope that that in time we can sort of build on that dialogue and become perhaps a little bit more inclusive. Because I mean, the same, you know, because we're all quite limited. You know, we have the New Zealand Interfaith Committee, which and in New Zealand Interfaith kind of forum, which meets every year. We've got the Wellington Interfaith sort of council. So it's kind of very hard to have lots and lots of different bilateral conversations going on. Individually and separately, you know, how can we get the people to be involved in these things given the limitations? So for some mechanism to include more formally, you know, a three-way conversation between Muslims, Jews and Christians, you know, I think would be a good thing. Hopefully after the your two-year term finishes, but at some stage, you know, but there's always, and I think, you know, and even the Catholic Church acknowledges that there's a very special place for Jewish Catholic dialogue, which is quite unique and can't be touched. But at the same time, from the point of view of, you know, our realities and our existence and our life and our dialogue of daily existence and dialogue of daily life here in Wellington, we have some good precedents of three-way conversation and dialogue, which perhaps we can see how we incorporate and build on and, you know, perhaps formalize a little bit more. So I just wanted to make that point. Thank you.
I just want to add a bit to what Nick's saying, and just to remind him too that I'll still be on the ICCJ perhaps after Devin's retired. But that being said, I agree that, of course, we need to keep the conversation going, and I see a very important role for a trilateral conversation, as we all do. I think it's very important. I would not like to see the dialogue between Christians and Jews subsumed under a trilateral conversation, and I think we need to keep that concept, that theology, quite separate, in the sense that it's going back to what Debbie said earlier, the relationship between Judaism and Christianity is unique, and it's different from the relationship between Christianity and Islam. So to subsume that the conversation between Jews and Christians can be covered by a trilateral conversation, I think it may not be helpful. However, that's not to deny the importance of having a trilateral conversation. So I think both are important. And the other thing is, I think the dialogue between Christians and Muslims is actually central as well. I think that's a unique conversation, particularly given the reality that a lot of Christian countries have kind of developed a coalition against in foreign affairs against the Islamic countries. I think there is an issue that we need to really start to reflect on, and this is separate from the conversation between Christians and Jews. I think the relationship between conversation between Christians and Muslims is very important, because I know in Australia there's a lot of Islamophobia and a lot of ways of trying to demonize Islamic people, Muslims. So I think there's a whole conversation that needs to happen socially, and that's not to take away from the dialogue that I think is very important and fundamental for Christian self-understanding in its relationship to Judaism. So I just summarize by saying I think trilateral dialogue is important, but it should not take away from the dialogue between Christians and Jews. That's my position on that.
Mm-hmm.